people are more than welcome to ask questions. However, I do want to invite each one of you to stay in touch with us and assist us in drafting legislation that will help you with some of the concerns that you've raised today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're ready? The slideshow will be self-explanatory. Basically, what it is an overview of the potential of the industry in Alaska.
John, when was this developed?
The Alaska forest industry is a $300 million a year business. It employs almost 3,000 people and harvests about 450 million board feet annually. What do these numbers mean? Are the figures impressive or embarrassing? Do they compare well with other parts of the world, or can Alaska do better than it already does? Alaska's forests can generally be classified as two distinct groups, interior and coastal. The coastal forests are today's big timber producers. Growing on only 20% of Alaska's commercial forest land, they cut out 90% of the state's forest products. Interior forests, although smaller and slower growing, are far less expensive to develop than the coastal forests, and they extend over 22.5 million acres. Here, white spruce and paper birch are the principal commercial species. Some of the products and benefits received from these forests are completely intangible. It's difficult to put a dollar amount on the value of scenery or the worth of satisfaction. Other products are non-commercial yet invaluable to us all. Forests act as storage areas and purifiers for our fresh water. The forest is home to wildlife. It's an important influence on soil stability. These intangible and nebulous products are all very real and very important, but it's the commercial harvest of the forest that we can best manage for a healthy economy and environment. Timber is Alaska's biggest money crop. It can be exported as round logs or sawn into rough cans for markets abroad. It can be milled into lumber for use in everything from homes to violins. It can be turned into veneer for plywood. Wood can be used in many forms as a fuel. Almost any tree can be converted to pulp, the basic material for an astounding diversity of products from cardboard and cellophane to cosmetics. How much wood is growing in Alaska? There's about 28.2 million acres of commercial forest land, 10% of the United States total. Commercial forest is defined as any land growing at least 20 cubic feet of merchantable wood per acre every year under present management. On this land, we have about 50 billion cubic feet of growing stock, a solid chunk of wood the size of a football field, and 316 miles high. But how much wood Alaska has is not important. What is important is how fast the wood grows and how much can be replaced as it's harvested. Young, unmanaged stands of trees may grow faster than old ones. In fact, older trees can lose average growth through losses to insects, decay, and disease. What all this means is that on the average, over 1% of the volume of Alaska's trees can be harvested every year without losing any growing stock. This is on the order of 500 million cubic feet per year, an amount equal to the pulp production of Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin. States that employ more than 174,000 people in their forest products industry. Alaska grows enough wood to build 140,000 frame houses every year. Yet presently, only 35% of this growth is harvested. 500 million cubic feet per year is what Alaska grows today. Yet this amount only begins to approach what can be expected if the management of Alaska's forest resources improve. Out of all the acres of commercial forest land in the state, only 10% of it can be classified as being under some sort of scientific management to produce timber. Even the management our forests currently do receive is only a start. In the highly productive Southeast, less resources are spent for timber management than for any other comparable timber-producing lands in other states. In the interior, even less effort is expended for timber management. Indeed, less than 10% of interior commercial forest land has been committed to timber production. This is generally because of the distance involved, cost of operations, lack of transportation and markets, make this vast area economically unattractive at present. This is not to say that a good management effort isn't being made. The State Division of Forestry has steadily moved towards more intensive management, especially in the Tanana State Forest, one of the largest interior areas of commercial timber. Harvesting plans have been drawn up for other areas. Tree plantings have been undertaken, and fire management plans detailed. The division also maintains the forest nursery, which supplies tree growers with genetically superior stock. Through the University of Alaska, the state supports the Institute of Northern Forestry, an important research facility committed to Alaska-related problems. The university also provides the Cooperative Extension Service to help get research developments to the public. In other management areas, foresters have made sure that through the application of scientific forestry principles to present-day logging, damage to other resources has been controlled. Properly conducted logging operations have preserved water quality and have even increased fish and wildlife populations where they have intended to do so. Logging is being used as a tool to bring about desired environmental changes. A change in the way most of us think about our forest resources could increase productivity and leave the state in a more comfortable position when the state's oil income declines. A better relationship between industry and the state will leave industry better informed and equipped for the marketplace. Landowners must commit a definite land base for timber production. Overall management strategy must stress sustained yield and multiple use. Just emphasizing these management principles will have a dramatic effect on long-term timber production, as well as on other forest resources. The potential of Alaska's interior forests to add revenue to the economy and jobs for the local community is yet untapped. Even today, if the restraints of distance, lack of transportation, and cost of operations were magically lifted, Alaska's interior forest could possibly support 10 pulp mills without any changes in the way the interior forest is managed. Each mill might employ 1,000 people directly, and hundreds more for supporting industries. 10,000 people could be employed on the present growth of Alaska's interior trees. Presently, no pulp mills operate and no large-scale facility is supplied by timber from the interior. No one can predict what a bonanza intensive management may bring, combined with future technological and genetic developments. A 20 to 30% increase in growth is not unreasonable. The potential is there for forest products to dwarf other major industries in the state, in jobs, in revenue, and consistency. As world consumption trends demand more forest products, Alaska can play a more important role in supplying these products. The economic climate will eventually favor the development of the interior forest industry. However, the growth and management of timber is a long-term affair, and we might want to start giving our forests some consideration in the form of more intensive management. Dedicating a land base to produce forest products will be a place to start. This is the key to developing our interior forest resources. A dedicated land base would define the particular set of problems that managers need to solve in order to bring the potential of Alaska closer to reality. Economic motivation for better forest management is also a possibility. Tax breaks, low interest loans, and marketing assistance would all pay good dividends. Improvements in the area of roads, transportation, and communications would also have a positive effect. Alaska is a world-class timber resource. With a definite commitment, we could have a forest products industry worth billions of dollars a year, supporting a workforce of many thousands. The potential is there. What it takes is a bit of effort and a good deal of foresight to awaken our giant sleeping timber industry.
Thank you, John. That was an excellent presentation. Are there questions at this point in time from the panel that we have here? Senator Sturgill.
Not a question, but again, a comment, if I could just briefly. Until we, you know, the resource committees can do certain things, but until there's a commitment to spend some dollars, nothing is going to happen. We have, and I might suggest to you gentlemen, subcommittees on both of the finance committees that handle the natural resources budget. There has not been recently much commitment made to really developing, giving up adequate numbers of people in some of the resource areas to carry out needed programs. And so even though we can work to assist you in changing the statutes, I think that's an important key, you've got to have the money commitment by it, and it's got to be year after year after year after year with a definite strategy. So, you know, you can look at it in bits and pieces, but till it's pulled together in a whole, it's not going to happen, and you're going to have continued frustration. So I would suggest that while you're here, you might want to do some talking to build up that, you know, the state is a major resource owner. Unless we make a commitment to making those resources available, it's simply going to end up in continued frustration. So I think it's really important you talk to some of those people too.
Okay. Any other comments from any of the representatives? Senators, open. Okay, at this time, we'd just like to again thank the panel for coming down. I really appreciate it. I believe that the people that had an opportunity to come in and listen to your testimony have are now aware that we do have timber in Alaska, and it is a remarkable product, and that we should be doing things and spending money in trying to assist you in your endeavors.
Okay. Might I share one short comment, and maybe another way that we can use your help? And it's concerning the Alaska preference, the buyer's preference. You know, there is an act in structure right now, it's section 36.15.010, and it says, in a project financed by state money in which the use of timber, lumber, and manufactured lumber products is required, only timber, lumber, and manufactured lumber products originating in this state from local forests shall be used wherever practicable. And you know, there's been real prime examples. Toke, the Division of Forestry building in Toke, there, yes. Dick, you're aware of. The forester there asked specifically for a three-sided log structure like the Division of Forestry has in Delta. He was told by the engineers, I don't know if I should repeat this or not, that log buildings flow over and that they have very bad wind penetration factors. So they couldn't design the building to utilize the local product. They couldn't design the oil or the heating system to utilize wood. That's not true. As far as I'm concerned, we need to do something. We need to put some teeth into this thing and go right to the base of it. Not be, you know, fooling around with the purchasing necessarily, but go to the engineering and designing. Go to DOT and let's put something into it to where the architects and the designers are put online to design these buildings, design them with the lasting products in mind. We have quality commercial buildings throughout the industry that are log or are Alaskan products. There's no reason that Mr. Janae's product could not have been used in Anchorage. We need to put some teeth into this thing legislatively. We need to see some action coming forth to make those things happen. We can't do it in the private sector. I mean, we can holler and we can scream, but Greg Bell has been screaming for a couple, three, 4 months now on an Eklutna water project down there. And right now, the oil companies and the mining industry purchase more Alaskan product than the state itself does. Thank you.
Thank you. That's an excellent point also, and I am completely aware of the Tope situation in the building there. I hear comments on that quite frequently.
One final comment that I would like to bring up, and I'm sure, rather I'm not sure, but I'm wondering whether any of you have had any concerns that the timber industry, the harvesting methods taken underway in Southeast Alaska, in any way negatively impacted the fisheries resource? Have you been getting stories that this has occurred? I don't want to belabor it if it's not an issue.
I haven't, but I just wanted to
Mr. Chairman, yes, that is certainly an issue that is there. And one of the things, I suppose, just as an observation, I do think you need to pursue that. And I know that the oil fish group, for instance, that works. It's a very good way for a couple of industries to get together and do some discussion. Just as I've traveled through Southeast, yes, I do hear it, and I don't think it's one of those things that easily going to go away. I think there needs to be some kind of a mechanism so that those important industries, both very important to Southeast, along with tourism, can find a way to talk to each other. I really think that needs to be explored.
I agree, and if there's any platform whatsoever that may be developed to take care of, to resolve that issue, we would be more than happy to participate. The point being, though, that there has never been any fish stream identified or pointed out within that timber harvest area that actually has been degraded. And I would like, yes, Senator?
I would only say that may be well true, but we deal constantly in perceptions that are out there.
Right.
And if the perception is there and it impacts you negatively in your ability to get it, then you do something about it. It's fine to say that, and I can accept that. But I think you also need a mechanism to really, really talk and not talk at each other, but with each other, because it's out there.
I agree. The point that we would like to make then, that in the event that certain statements like that need to be verified, we would be glad to participate in that forum. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, for the Vision of Forestry and trying to speak to the Office of Forest Products. We're very interested in trying to help build the industry and make it secure and sound, and we stand by whatever the committee wants to do. We're here to assist with legislation or some type of plan that we're standing by whatever we can do to help.
Thank you, John. I believe that both resource committees have had a very good working relationship with John Sturgeon from the department, and I want to commend you on the response that we have been getting from your department. So with that, we're going to adjourn the House and Senate Resource Joint Meeting.
Thank you, Chairman.